Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Today is Remembrance Sunday in the UK, and it is a day that the country sets aside to remember those that have fought, those that have died, those that have laid down their lives for the defense of the nation to preserve its freedom. And it is seemingly right that it should do so. But as those that come together to worship the Lord, it is, to my mind, better to do so to remember Him, to remember the things that He has done for us, the things that He has moved in our lives, the way that He has saved you if you know Him, to remember His past blessings. And Psalm 107 is a beautiful picture of that. It is a wonderful glimpse into the life of those that have been called out of sin and darkness. The psalm is something that has been a blessing to me over the course of time. And indeed, I heard a recorded sermon by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones on it, and he stated that he sees God calling a choir together, calling a choir of different people from different places through different troubles and trials together to sing His praises. And when hopefully we go through that, you will see a ring of truth to that. The first three verses of the psalm are sort of an outline of it. O give thanks unto the Lord. O give thanks unto Jehovah, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord of Jehovah say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Who is gathering together to speak? It is the redeemed. It is those who have been called out of sin and darkness by the blood of the Lamb. Those that have been called to redemption by Jesus Christ. Those that have come to the point where they see themselves as a sinner who is in need of a Savior. It is not those who think they're well. It is not those who think that they are sufficient in themselves. It is those who have come to the end of themselves. Those that have cried out to the Lord, and He has delivered them out of their trouble, out of their distresses. It is those that God has saved. And we see that throughout the psalm. Why? Well, for He is good. For He is good. There is none other good. The Bible tells us time and again, there is none good. There is no one that follows after Jesus Christ. There's none that seeketh after the Lord. When someone came to Christ and he says, "Good Master," he says, "Why calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God above." And it was Jesus sort of rebuking the man because the man didn't recognize Jesus as God. He didn't know that He was the Son of God in the flesh. But yet, He was calling Him good. And Jesus wants us to understand there is none good but God. So that we can understand that those that are redeemed, we stand before God as Christ because Christ stood before God as me. It's His redemption that allows me to stand before Him. He is good. His mercy endures forever. There's no loss of salvation. It's His mercy. It endures forever. When He bestows it, He doesn't remove it. He doesn't take it away again. It is not earned. It is not deserved. It should be humbling. It should be encouraging to remember that God has shown you mercy. He has extended the scepter as the king did to Esther, and you are merciful in His sight. He gives you grace. If He has given you Jesus Christ, what else is He going to refuse? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You were in the grips of the enemy. You were in the power of the evil one, and He's redeemed you. He's called you out of that land. As Paul says in Colossians, He has translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You're no longer in that land. You're a citizen of a new place, a citizen of heaven, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him, we point you to Him. We point you to Him. He is all that you need. He is all in all. He is Lord. He is Christ. He is God indeed. And He does not turn away those that come to Him in faith. You come to Him in faith and He will gather you in. It's a promise that He has made. And so the psalmist says that there are those that have been gathered from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And he breaks it down into four different groups of people. And we're going to examine each one of those four groups. And what we find is that each one of us sort of fits into one of those groups, sort of like a personality test, if you will. It's not a personality test, but you'll recognize some of you in each of these groups of people if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you may be finding yourself in one of these groups of people if you have not been. So let's look at them. The first one is in verses 4 through 9. And I would say this is the searcher. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto Jehovah in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You know, there is some of us here that when giving their testimony, they would say, you know, I felt like I was the one looking for God. I was the one searching. Sometimes I didn't even know what I was searching for. But I was seeking something. I felt like there was something missing in my life and I was seeking it. And then suddenly I found Christ. And in reality, that's not really the way it works, is it? And Christ found you. He drew you to Himself. But there are those that are out there that recognize they are deficient in some way. They're deficient. They have something missing. And they need that. They're hungering and thirsting. Some people don't even know what it is they're hungering and thirsting for. Whether it's to fit in, whether it's to have something that they feel like, this is where I belong. A city of habitation. They've looked and looked, but they haven't found it. Sometimes they feel like they belong somewhere and they think, this is it. This is where I'm going to be for my life. But what they find is they're in the desert. They've been led there by someone who is not honest. They're malicious. It's not the true city. It happens to so many people throughout the world where they think they found something. They think they may have found God. But what they found is man's religion. What they found is man's efforts to follow a certain list of rules or to be a member of a particular church or to be baptized or to do something. And you say, now that I've gotten to this place, I'm secure. When in reality, it is dust and ashes. There's nothing there. And they may realize that it is still missing. They're eating sand and thinking that they have the water of life. It might be nice education, goodwill, good religion, but it's a mirage. And they finally sit and say, Lord, help me. They cry to the Lord. They cry to Christ in their distress. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And what does He do? He delivers them out of their distresses. He comes and He takes them out of the place where they were. And He translates them and brings them into His kingdom. He leads them forth by the right way. He doesn't lead them down the wrong path. He doesn't lead them to a place that doesn't satisfy. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For I am gentle. It is a glorious thing to know the Lord. He satisfies the longing soul. He leads them forth by the right way to the city of habitation, that place that they've been looking for that they didn't even know they were looking for. And they know they're secure. They know that they don't have to go anywhere else, that they belong with Jesus Christ. It's the place where they fit in. Not because of some earthly thing, but because there's a bond. There's a bond in the Lord. There's a bond with the people because of each being redeemed. Such may have been some of you. You felt that you were in this position and you were seeking something. And finally, Christ found you. What should you do? You should praise Him. You should praise Him. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why? He satisfies the longing soul. That soul that is looking for something, He satisfies it. He fills it. He fills it with goodness. What a glory it is. If you're still in that position, you're seeking something and you don't know what it is, don't turn to the world. Don't turn to your job. Don't turn to your family. Don't turn to these different things. Turn to Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him in your distresses. Cry out to Him in your trouble. And say, Lord, help me. Help me to find You. And you'll find that it's the other way around. That He has found you. That He is the one that has prepared a city. Prepared a place of habitation for you. Don't mock it. Don't turn aside as if it's nothing. God is telling you to stop searching and cry unto Him. The second person starts in verse 10 through verse 16. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Jehovah in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. This is someone who's in terrible bondage to sin. And they know it. They know it. They can't get out of it. No matter what they do, they feel they're in that cell. They're in the dark. And they're just waiting. They're just biding their time till this life is over. And they think that somehow or other it will be better when life is over. They think that somehow or other they'll be at rest and be at peace. Sin has taken them far from God. And they're a slave to sin. They're bound. And they don't know how to get out. It's because of their own rebellion that's placed them there. They know that God has said no to this, but they still do it anyway. They follow that path and it leads to destruction. And they have no help on any side. You know, there's many things this could be. It could be drugs. It could be sex, alcohol, pleasure, hedonism. It could be things that seem and appear good. It could be devoting yourself to work, but you realize that you're leaving other things undone that you should be doing. But what do? Those in this passage, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They cried out to Jehovah. They cried out to Jesus Christ. They cried out to Him, and He saved them out of their distresses. He delivered them. He broke their bands asunder. He didn't unlock the bands. He broke them. They're no longer bound by sin. They're no longer bound by the thing that kept them there. He's broken the bars of their prison. It's not the idea that He's unlocked the key. He's put the key in the lock and opened the gate and said, come on out, let me take your shackles off of you. He hasn't done that. He's broken the bars. And He's broken the shackles so that sin no longer has hold on you. That doesn't mean you're going to live perfectly from that point forth. We know we fall, we sin. But sin no longer has a hold on you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has a hold on you. Because He's broken the bars of your prison and He's delivered you into His kingdom of light. Such were some of us. We may have been there, bound with fetters of brass and iron that you couldn't break. Sin that you just every day it seems like you're going right back to it. Right back to it again and again. God has broken them. You may have rebelled against God and His Word. You were bowed under the burden. But you called on Him. And what does He do? He's merciful. His mercy endureth forever. He comes and He saves you. He comes and He brings you out of the prison. Brings you out of that place. Praise Him. Praise Him for His great love towards you. He's brought you out from unimaginable darkness. And you say, well, you know, my sin wasn't that bad. My sin isn't that bad. In the eyes of God, your sin is that bad. My sin is that bad. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it until the day I die. What is the greatest commandment according to the Lord Jesus Christ? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. And what's the second? It's like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can't say I've ever fulfilled, because it's not a do not do. It is a do. And I can't say I've ever fulfilled either one of those fully one day of my life. I've broken the two greatest commandments every day of my life. That's how God views me. That's how God views you. That's black with sin. That's being bound in sin. And the only way out of that sin is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him. If you're still in that state, cry out to Him. What does He say? He says He'll be merciful to you. He'll bring you out of darkness in the shadow of death. He'll break your bands in sunder. He'll break the bars. Cry out to Him, and He'll help you. Do not remain in that place. There is no need to do so. There's no need to say that sin still has hold on your life. You can look to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17 through verse 22, we find the next group of people, those that are suffering under depression. Now, I want to qualify this. There is a clinical depression that happens because of chemical imbalances in the body, but there's also a depression that people bring upon themselves. There are, when circumstances seem to be weighing in on you and you can't get out, and you look down and down and down upon yourself, not the clinical sort, but just the circumstantial depression that people go through. And that's what I think this passage is talking about. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto Jehovah in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They're foolish. Why? Because they only look inwardly. They only look at themselves. It's the very sense of the most selfish people you can think of. Because it's all about me. Everything that goes on in the world is all about me. And they look at themselves and they see the problems. And they push themselves down. Their circumstances are a result of themselves. But they won't recognize it. They'll blame other people for it. This is why I'm here. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. And what happens? Well, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They're pushed down and they don't want to eat. They don't want to drink. The food has lost its savor. The sky is always falling. There's no pleasure in life. And they feel just pushed in by this depression. I would say that my sister is of that sort. She's always reflected that way. It's always about her. And it's always got to be some negative thing going on so that she'll receive attention from other people. And she's always looking out from the world behind dark shades. And she does it to herself. She puts herself in those positions. What does she need? She needs the Lord just like any of us. She needs to cry out to Him. And He can save her out of that distress. He can bring her out of that place and put her into the city of habitation where she sees the sun, not the sun that shines in the sky, but the sun of righteousness, who will shine into her life and make her be transformed as a new creation. That's what each one needs. Cry unto the Lord in your trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and He healed them. He binds up the brokenhearted. That's what He's all about. He delivers them from their destruction. It was their own destruction, yet He took them out of it. He took their focus off themselves and placed it where it belongs. Some of us were that way. Some may still be there. But think about what He asks. He says in verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." What is it that keeps people down? Oh, this is bad. This is negative. Well, when you start thanking God for the things that He does, start thanking Him for the things that are blessings. Start thanking Him for the things that don't look like blessings, because they very well may be blessings in disguise. And suddenly you're relying on Him instead of yourself. It changes your outlook. And then when it changes your outlook, He says, now go out and declare My works. Declare the things that I've done with you and rejoice in it. And others will see it. And they'll rejoice. Others will be glad because they'll see what God has done in your life. That you were this way before and you're not that way anymore. There's a before and an after. There was once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, to look at Jesus. To not delay and to look to Him. And He'll bring you out of your destructions. He'll bring you out of your trouble. He'll save you from your distresses. In verses 23 through 32, it is the one who is ruled by circumstances, who's ruled by the things of this world. They're not depressed by it, but they're pushed around by it. They're pushed by whatever is happening in the world at the time, whether it's their friends or whether it's their work or whether it's school or something else. What are they like? They're like a ship on the sea, tossed to and fro about by the waves. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way is up and which way is down. They're like a drunken man. They're going to and fro. I don't like ships because I get seasickness very easily. But whenever you've been on a ship that's on some waves, you'll start to you'll feel that motion even when you're on land going back and forth. We were on a ferry coming back from France last year, and it was the worst waves I've ever been in. And if you look down the aisle of the ferry, you saw the whole group of people going this way, and then this way, and then this way. And that's exactly what he's talking about. They're controlled by their circumstances. You feel like you're walking a straight path, but you're not. You're getting pushed over and side to side by the things that are around you. They see the works of the Lord. They're around all the time. The sailor, he sees God's craftiness all the time, doesn't he? He sees His creation, the power that He has. But what don't they do? They don't look up. They don't praise Him. We see that whenever there is some great disturbance, some great catastrophe in the world, people say, oh, we should pray. And there may be a great outpouring of prayer for a time. And then as soon as it's forgotten, the prayer is forgotten. As soon as they feel like they've gotten a little better, they forget God because it's not real. They're riding the crest of one wave and in the depths of the next. And eventually it's going to melt their soul within them. They'll be unable to act. They'll be at their wit's end and they'll reel about like a drunken man. But the ones he's talking about here, they call to the Lord in their trouble. They cry out to Him. And what does He do? He brings them out of their distresses. He walks out with them. He's with them the whole way. They no longer have to look at the wind or the waves. You think about Peter when he's walking to Jesus and suddenly he looks away because the waves are splashing him in the face and he starts to sink. Well, no, Jesus is with you the whole way. There's no sinking with Him. When they're walking back to the boat, Peter doesn't sink at all. Why? Because he's with Christ. He brings them out of their distresses. He'll bring them into a safe harbor. He calms the winds and the waves. Who can do that but Christ alone? And they're glad. They're glad. They rejoice. Some of you may have been that way, pushed about by those things that are going on in life. But you've been led to a safe haven. You've been led to Jesus Christ. You're no longer tossed about by the things of this world. Exalt Him in the congregation. Sing to the Lord with all your heart. Don't care whether you have a good voice or a bad voice. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord from your heart because that's what He's looking at. He's not listening to whether you hit the right note or not. He's listening to the heart. Some of you may still be there. You may still be tossed about by the tempest. Still tossed this way and that by the wind and the waves. By what the one of your friends at school are talking about. By what the people at work are talking about. You'll always be pushed about until you start to look to Christ. Until you call out to Him, the one that makes the boisterous sea a calm, that calms the wind. Cry to Him. He'll save you. Just ask the people around you who have been there before you. And they'll say, Jesus is the answer. You know, the rest of the passage, it seems like it turns a corner, but it's a fascinating look at what God does. He brings those that are high and He humbles them. And he brings those that are humble and he lifts them up. Verse 33, he turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He's going to chastise his people to bring them out. He's going to judge wickedness. We may think that it's far off, and in our reckoning, maybe it is, but it's not in his reckoning. He always has the answer. All things are at the behest of his will. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. That's what the Lord does. You know, to the person who knows the Lord, even if the cattle do decrease, they recognize we're in his hand. He's going to care for us. He's going to bring us to our desired haven. He brought me out of what I was in, and now he's going to take me to be with him. It's the journey to draw closer and nearer to him. He makes them to understand his loving kindness. He makes them to rejoice. He raises them up. Does he raise you up? Do you know him? Have you cried out to him as those in this psalm have done? Do you remember the goodness of the Lord? Do you look forward to his goodness? Do you look forward to the day where you will see him? We'll all stand before him. We'll all be before him one day. Will you be before him as one who has cried out to him seeking mercy and finding it? Or will you be one of those ones who thought, I can do it myself? And what you will find is the day of judgment will come upon you like a thief in the night. If you're one of his, thank him for what he's done. Praise him for his goodness to the children of men. Praise him for his loving kindness. Praise him for his mercy, for his goodness, for his wonderful works to you. Because he's constantly working for you if you know him. If you do not know him, cry out to him in the midst of your troubles. Whether you're in any of these places or you feel like you're even someplace else, cry out to the Lord. He'll help you. He'll take you out of your distresses. He'll remove your sin from you. And he'll bring you into the city of habitation. And it is a better place to be than anything else that you can imagine. To be a citizen of heaven. To know that these passing afflictions are a light thing compared to the glory we'll see when we see him face to face. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Are you one that will praise him tonight? We point you to Jesus Christ. Amen.